What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.
And we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. On this episode, we had a fan reach out, Allie, who is a new fan to the podcast, but she wanted to share some of her stories with us. Allie, how are you doing?
Good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How did you hear about Real Hauntings?
I was looking for a podcast to listen to at work because I work overnight. I just stumbled upon yours.
I feel like I would probably prefer listening to it in the daytime.
That's because JJ's a big scaredy cat.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not like that.
I try to come across as not a big scaredy cat, but like when I'm listening to people's stories for this podcast, I genuinely just question reality and myself and just am filled with existential terror. So.
And happy Halloween. Well, Allie, I know looking back over your email, it seems like you have had supernatural encounters kind of your whole life. Before we jump into that, you know, we like to find out kind of where people are on what we call our believe-o-meter, zero meaning they don't believe in ghosts and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I'd say I was a 10. But now I'm more like a 7-8.
Oh, okay. I like that. We haven't had a lot of like reversals in a while. Usually it's I was a 5, but now I'm a 10. I can't wait to find out why too.
Yeah. So why don't you start us with kind of the origin story? How did this all begin for you?
See, I don't remember this, but when I was 3, my mother said that I would talk about the angel in my room all the time, like at night. I'd have trouble sleeping and the angel would appear in the window and I would talk to the angel and then the angel would leave and I would go to sleep. Her major concern was that I didn't follow the angel out the window.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Nice that you didn't do that.
But that's kind of where it started.
So what did your mom tell you those conversations were like with the angel?
Just that I would talk to the angel and then the angel would leave and I'd finally sleep.
Did your mom believe that this was a real spiritual entity you were talking to? Or?
I think she was kind of torn because I was an imaginative kid, but at the same time, she really believes in angels and stuff. So.
And so what led her to believe that you were talking to an angel?
Probably because I was so young enough that I knew what an angel was, but not old enough to like lie about it.
Right. Have you like seen anything like that since then?
I wouldn't say an angel. I've seen plenty of other things.
So I guess, was this an instance where you or your mom told you you went to her and specifically said you were talking to an angel, or did she just come to that conclusion kind of independently because you were talking to something at the window?
I came to her and said it was an angel.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we've had some angel stories, I feel like a couple, but not a ton. So that's always interesting when it always interests me when we get things that are kind of a blend of the supernatural with religion. It's kind of neat that it's not a demon this time, that it's an angel. Did that story have any effect on you as you moved on through childhood? Did you believe her or did you kind of like, I don't know about that? Or how did that make you feel?
Well, she didn't tell me it until I was in high school. Oh. So it didn't really affect me throughout my childhood.
You react to that?
I was kind of surprised, but also not really because of the other things I had seen. But it was also just kind of funny that her major concern wasn't, oh, it could be an intruder. It was, don't follow the angel out the window.
Yeah, right. So at this point in high school, you had seen a couple things, which we totally want to hear what those are. And at this point, would you consider yourself a 10, like when you were in high school, believing in ghosts?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I want to know what kinds of things that you saw.
Yeah, same.
The very next instance that I can remember, my sisters in my room were right next to each other. And my dad would stay up late and he'd come and check on us before he went to bed. And I knew this because it took me up to like 3 hours to get to sleep. Because I just couldn't sleep. And the one night I didn't hear anyone come up the stairs, but I looked up and I saw a shadowy figure in the shape of my dad in the doorway. And I thought, oh, it's just dad checking on us. Yeah. Because it looked in my room and it looked in my sister's room and then went down the hall. And then 5 minutes later, I hear someone come up the stairs and there's my dad checking in on us before going to bed.
Did you tell your dad when that happened or did you just kind of go to bed?
I just went to bed. But the next night, because I was like, that was a little weird, I closed my door instead of leaving it open. Mm-hmm. And around the same time, a shadowy head popped through the door, checked on me, went back through the door and went back down the hall.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. Wow. So it went through the door.
Yeah.
That actually just reminded me when you said that you shut the door, something I'd kind of forgotten about my childhood. I would sleep with my door deadbolted and I had a deadbolt for whatever reason to my bedroom, but I was so scared of like, it wasn't so much ghost. I think as a kid, I was scared of like monsters because at some point somebody told me if I was bad, like the monster from underneath my bed was going to eat me. And now that I think about it, I don't know why I was locking myself in the room with the monster, but you know, child logic. But yeah, that's interesting. I'd kind of forgotten about that.
Well, as a confession, I make us lock our bedroom door at night.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you were the monster under the bed. And I was like, ah, do it.
And like, I guess we've been leaving it open more recently, but it just makes me feel safe. Cause I feel like when you're asleep, you're so vulnerable. And I don't like being like startled as we've talked about, but I don't know, I guess when we had a roommate, I was like, well, that would be annoying if he just walked in. Not that he would.
I feel like if they've gone through the like front door lock, then they're going to get through the bedroom door lock. Oh,
thanks, JJ. I'm sure that makes Kat feel so much better.
I don't know. I don't think so.
The front door has like a deadbolt lock. And another lock on the door handle. Our bedroom door is just one of those shitty locks that you like push in the button.
No, it's not.
It's a turn lock. You're right.
Never mind.
You guys give out your address while you're going through all the lock mechanisms. And
we should close the window downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Our window is stuck open.
Back to Allie's story. So the shadow man or shadowy figure stuck its head through the door. Did you try to communicate it with it at all? Or did you just kind of pull the sheets over your head and go back to sleep?
Surprisingly, I wasn't afraid. Like, I never got a feeling of it wanted to hurt me or anything like that. Like, it was checking on my sister and I like my parents would. So it never really scared me. And it wasn't until college that I thought, maybe I should try to communicate with it.
Oh, gosh. This so reminds me. I know we talk about Haunting on Hill House so much, but this, it always reminds me of the second season when we hear about like shadowy figures, like checking on children or interacting with children.
Which is not a spoiler.
Just no, I don't think that's a spoiler.
If you're watching it, that there's just like little Easter eggs of hidden shadowy figures in the background. Yeah. If you don't know about it, you'll probably just miss it.
Yeah, so, it's perfectly splendid. Nothing to worry about.
Perfectly splendid. Ooh, that freaked me out.
So Allie, you were having these experiences and then did you tell your parents and that's what led to your mom to tell you the angel story? Is that kind of how that worked out?
Kind of. Mom was talking about ghost stories that she'd experienced as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I brought up the shadow figure and they were like, oh yeah, that.
So they had experienced that before?
Yeah. They'd seen it check on them as well.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. If I were parents in a house with kids when a shadow figure was checking in on us, I'd be half across the country.
But maybe that was the angel, you know?
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, those shadow angels.
Why on earth did y'all not tell me about this ghost checking on us? Or were you just kind of like, okay, yeah, that's cool.
I feel like it was, they got the same feeling that I did. Cause the things my mom experienced, she's pretty like in tune with those sort of things. So she gets a feeling and knows when to leave. But she had a similar feeling to me where it just wasn't scary. It was just checking in on us.
Did anything happen in the history of that home that might have given you guys some clues of what that figure was?
Not that I know of, and not that my dad knows of, because he researched the house before we moved in.
Interesting.
Like specifically to see if there were ghosts in there?
Or no, maybe or, just to see just the history of the house or something.
He's a big history nerd, so
yeah.
Him and JJ would probably get along then.
If you could pick like one ghost story in your whole life that like you would tell a group of people that you've experienced.
Okay, I worked at a museum. Okay. And it was a haunted museum. It's the Thomas Taper Museum in Lockhillman County.
I read about that in your email. This is a haunting that's kind of famous, right?
Yeah.
And so how long did you work at the museum?
3 years.
Oh, wow. And did the haunting start immediately or was it gradual over time?
For me, it was pretty much immediately because I could kind of see them.
Okay, so what is this museum famous for? What haunting is it like famous for?
So the haunting is famous for is there's this picture of a girl named Nellie. Uh-huh. And how the story goes is that when she was little, her father was painting her and she fell off the stool and broke her head open and died.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
And he finished the painting. And shortly after that, I think he died. And everywhere the picture hung, it would fall off the wall at least once a day. And it was donated to the museum after numerous years of it falling off the wall. And it would fall off the wall every day at the museum until a car crashed into the front door of the museum. And then it just stopped.
Okay, that makes me think, like, did the car crash like somehow reset some kind of structural problem with the museum to like solidify the wall or something? That's so bizarre.
Also, it's like always the name, it's always a name like Nellie, right?
Right.
When it's like stories like this, it's always some sort of I don't know, like Ellen or
yeah,
or Nellie or
Gertrude, I feel like.
Well, yeah.
Just old lady names, really. Yeah. So did you see the painting fall off or were you employed there post miraculous car crash?
I was employed after.
Okay. But you did see spirits, I guess, around them. Can you tell us like what exactly you saw?
They're kind of like wisps. Nellie in particular was a very small wisp and she liked to mess with me like a little trickster. So like things would go missing or would be moved to a different location. She'd turn on the trains. So in the basement, there's a giant train collection and there would be train sets and you could turn them on. If I was alone in the museum, I could hear the train sets go off. And the first time I was like, ah, it's just old electronics. And then it did it like 3 times in a row. And I was like, ah, it's Nellie.
Oh my gosh, this is so like that Ben Stiller movie, what, like Night at the Museum or whatever.
Yes. Did you ever talk to any of your coworkers about this?
Yeah, my boss, Gary, he was one of, he's like a 10 on the meter. And he's had a couple of experiences, but like the major one was Little League baseball is really big here. When it happens, we make little pins for the kids to get. And the one year it was Nellie holding a baseball was the pin. He kept having things move and fall in his office. The phone would ring and no one would be there.
So Nellie didn't seem to like that too much. No,
she did not.
Oh, wow. People at the museum then, I mean, was it just kind of like an open thing of like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of ghosts here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
And just to circle back, you mentioned that the two ghosts we're speaking of were more like wisp. Can you tell us what that is?
It's kind of like someone blew out a candle and you see the smoke.
It's a good description.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a onomatopoeia, right? Like a wisp. No.
Yeah.
JJ's face.
Is that what that is
it's,
like?
It's Noah? Not like that at wisp. All.
Doesn't it sound like what you would say? No. Okay. Just me.
You don't have to agree with Noah on this, Allie. It's okay.
Well, Allie, that's fascinating. I love like anytime we hear ghost stories about museums or theaters, any kind of like old properties that you would, you know, just like classic spooky stuff. I feel like especially is perfect for October. Like it's just, it just hits that tone.
did you know who the other Wisps were?
Yeah, there was one other Wisp. Okay, there was two other Wisps. There was the doctor, and he came in while I was working at the museum. Someone donated a bunch of doctor supplies.
Oh.
Because from a dentist. We had set out the tools on a in a pattern on a table to people for people to look at. And every time we would come in, the tools would be straightened.
That is so weird.
It already is like scary to me. Maybe why it's been so long since I've been to a dentist. But like antique dental equipment just straight up looks like torture devices. And then if that stuff has a ghost attached to it, I know.
Was there any kind of interesting story behind the dentist who the equipment originally belonged to?
No. he was just the local dentist. He worked out of his home. And that's where the supplies came from, was his family was tired of seeing it in their living room and just donated it.
I like to imagine that you all would be like, hey, it's the dentist. And he would demand to be called the doctor. And you all would be like, all right, it's the doctor. Hey, doctor. Well, that's cool. I know. And you said, was there one other one you saw as well? Or is that, or those all the, okay. What was the other one?
I forgot about this one. We had this Santa from a department store, and he was antique and he looked it. He had a green coat and yellow eyes.
Pot belly full of jelly.
Wait,
and rosy cheeks. I don't know. What's
well, that?
Okay.
The night before Christmas.
Sorry, keep going.
And his porcelain face had cracked. And he moved.
Oh, God.
Like you plug him in and he moves.
Okay. You're like,
but he would also move on his own. There was a runway that went from 3D storage up into our rec room. And he was always stored in there because he liked it in there. And you could find him at different locations in that hallway, although no one had been in the hallway.
So like he would just move himself to his favorite storage room?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't think you worked with any like type of prankster
trickster humans?
Well, for the longest time, for at least two of the years, I worked there by myself. No one was there because it was a weekend. Oftentimes, I would flip on the light for the rec room and you could see his face in the hallway window.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
An old creepy Santa haunting? No, thank you.
I imagine all of this would have been really scary when that stuff like first happens. But was there ever a point in your job where you're just like, oh, this again, just like kind of annoyed at like these things moving around that you have to put back in its proper place?
Yeah, kind of. Nelly was the worst. The doctor was actually fine. He would stomp around the museum, like you hear his feet stomp around, and he liked to scare annoying guests.
What kind of would Nelly play on you?
I would bring my homework, because this was during college. I'd bring my homework and I'd set down my pencil, and then I'd go to grab it and it was on the floor or on the other desk or just somewhere else.
Little inconvenient, like kid-like tricks.
Yeah.
Sounds like she was the youngest sibling. I've heard.
Yeah.
Just constantly poking the bear.
And then you said in your email you also had a Civil War ghost that you saw as well.
Ooh. Yeah. That was my freshman year of college. He, from what I remember, I was at my desk, and the window was open, and there was no breeze, there was no wind, it wasn't a windy day, and the door to my dorm just slammed shut. And when I turned around, there was a Wisp again, and he kind of just, I got the feeling that he waved and then disappeared.
And he looked like a Civil War soldier?
At that point in time, I was kind of exploring mediumship, so I could talk to him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he said he was a Civil War soldier, essentially, and that he was just a floating floater, like he had floated from Gettysburg to Lycoming.
What kind of things do you learn to do when you're dipping your toes in mediumship?
A lot of it's, I did a lot of reading and I didn't get any like official help, but a lot of it was learning to meditate.
Okay.
To get into a meditative state at will.
You kind of experienced some of these medium qualities. Was it something that you felt like once you dipped your toe into it, as JJ said, or maybe you said, that you felt like you had control over, or would you feel like you'd see a ghost and kind of get rushed with their thoughts, or how did that work?
I was pretty good at like blocking it off if I needed to. The first time it was a little difficult, because the Thivel Wolf Soldier, his thoughts just rushed into me, and I kind of got visions of how he died, which was like getting stabbed in the back with a bayonet. But then after that, I learned how to close it off to like only have like a little bit come in at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that you believe anybody can learn how to do, or do you need to have some base level of intuitive ability to be able to do that?
I think anyone can.
Even JJ?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I've meditated before and I don't know where the jump is from like meditation to just kind of like calm your mind and slow it down a little bit to then like being able to commune with spirits. It seems like there's a gap that I'm missing.
Well, JJ, I haven't told you this, but I spoke with Evelyn, I don't know, on Instagram, not like over the phone or anything, talking about booking her for something else. And she wanted me to let you know that her and Jess got the, I don't know what the right word is, the sensation, or, you know, the vibe, the energy that you are way more intuitive than you give yourself credit for.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't believe them.
Stop blocking yourself, JJ. Accept the spirit.
Cats full of shit.
Well, Allie, we appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories. Is there anything else you want to share with us before we get you out of here?
Yeah, well, wait just one second, because my question
Excuse me.
Well, I need to know what made you go to a 7 from a 10.
Oh, right.
Oh, when I turned 20,
okay,
I was having major panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And while I was having those panic attacks, I would have psychosis.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Wow.
And the years following, it got worse and worse and worse until I was having psychosis pretty much every day. And I went to a doctor and they said I had schizophrenia.
Oh, wow.
And over time, I got on medications and things like that. And going on medications, it all ceased. I couldn't see wisps anymore. I couldn't like connect with them anymore. And then I started to doubt myself. Like, was it any at all real? That's what caused me to jump from a 10 to a 7.
Thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Like Kat said, I feel like that's such a touchy subject with supernatural material or content, because I think that's something that naysayers online, you know, may jump to and say like, well, you know, maybe they have X, Y, and Z, and that's why they see ghosts and whatnot. So I think it's pretty brave for you to come out and actually talk about that after talking about your ghost stories, because I know that is probably difficult. So we certainly appreciate that.
My uncle had schizophrenia, and he was always, you know, he would be on and off his medication, but no matter what, he always seemed more in tune with, like, I don't know, just the spiritual world in general. And I, you know, full-heartedly believe that he had, even with, you know, his brain chemistry and everything, I think he did have more insight and connection to that side of the world or spiritual world or faith than I did or anyone in my family. So yeah, I hate that makes you doubt yourself, but I hope you're able to, you know, feel happy and content and in your day-to-day life, but I hope you're able to kind of be in touch with that side of you too.
Because
those stories are pretty cool. Clearly the three of us do not have any type of gift. So really appreciate you sharing all of those stories.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like, thank you so much for coming on, and we hope that you have a great October and a great Halloween, and we appreciate you listening to the podcast. We're going to try to get out a bunch of content for all our fans this month. We've already released one mini-sode. We're going to do at least one a week, maybe more through October. Is there anything you'd like to leave our fans with before we get you out of here?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and thank you so much for letting us know about that haunted museum. I know you sent a link with some information. I can't wait to do a deep dive into that and learn even more about it, because that's really cool and right up our alley.
Yeah, they'll appreciate the publicity.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of the night, and happy spooky season.
You too.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Well, y'all, I don't know about you, but I kind of want to go watch Night at the Museum, right?
Night at the Museum, yeah.
And has it always been Ben Stiller? I thought Robin Williams did the first one.
No.
Oh, was there an original?
It's always been Ben Stiller, but Robin Williams was Teddy Franklin.
He was in the movie.
This one, he was as Teddy Franklin.
Yeah.
Y'all, should I know who that is? Theodore Roosevelt.
Why did I say Teddy Franklin?
I was pretending to, Kat. I was like, JJ just knows more about history than I do. I'm gonna let this go.
Because at first I was like, oh yeah, wait.
What are you doing with your laptop? I'm getting dizzy. Put that shit down.
I'm sorry, it's better lighting.
Make me sick. But yeah, I absolutely just love that kind of part of, you know, this alleged supernatural world, that a place full of old artifacts come to life at night. Especially, how creepy was that Santa story? Like, what the heck?
No, we need to just get rid of Santa statues in general.
Okay, go ahead, JJ.
Every Christmas, there's like some movie that comes out that's like a Christmas themed horror movie, and it looks so bad and stupid and awful. And honestly, like, that just sounds like the setup for one of those terrible
like a Krampus. But what do you think is more spooky, a haunted Santa statue or whatever that thing was, or like one of those monkeys that bangs the cymbals together being haunted?
Ooh,
Santa is creepier.
I am scared of monkeys, though, for real.
Just in general?
I don't like them. Their little hands are creepy. I know everyone thinks monkeys are cute, but actually, like, people who live in places where there are a lot of monkeys hate them, too. They're, like, a nuisance. They steal shiny objects and food. They, like, form gangs, and they're just bad.
JJ,
I do not like them.
JJ lived at a place with monkeys and has a creepy story where, like, you just see the hand coming around the door. Maybe that's for another time.
Wait, so I gotta say, I'm on the other side of this coin, where any animal that has a human-like hand, I absolutely love. Like, raccoons, love them. Any, like, squirrels have little hands. Anything that has, like, a little hand that can pick food up and eat it.
They can oppose their digits and they have thumbs.
Ferrets, love them. Anything. I want to live with them all. So it's kind of funny that...
that's making me think. I do think raccoons, when you see them with their, like, washing their hands, it is really, really cute.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about, like, monkey hands, that they're so human-like, but not quite human-like, that it just really, really disturbs me.
Well, that monkey paw fable is something, the first time I heard it, it's always stuck with me. For whatever reason, that's always spooked me out and kind of creeped me out. Huh?
Say it.
It's like a whole story. It's like
it's like they find a monkey paw and they make a wish, and it's like they get whatever they wish for, but there's a consequence to the action of the wish. So, like, if you wish for money, a relative might immediately die and then you inherit their money, you know, or it's always like a negative for your positive kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Well, and people, of course, can't help themselves, so they keep making the wishes kind of, you know, thing.
Well, getting back to Allie, I do want to thank her for being so candid and open about everything she's going through and having schizophrenia, because it's definitely a topic that is not discussed a lot. And, you know, I want that to be normalized for everyone. So that's cool that she brought that up, because you're right, Noah, what you said, it is a stigma and the, you know, counteracting, what's the word, when you're trying to prove that ghosts, that people are just making it up in their head, which sucks. It sucks so hard because they don't know what those people are, what people are going through. Everyone's brain is wired differently. And you don't know, you know, what kind of medications people are on that are inhibiting things or, and all I have to say is that she was really brave to say that. And I'm so glad she came on our episode. I can't wait to hear from her again.
Absolutely. And Kat, do you have a good like mental health phone number or website that we can give out if anybody feels like they're struggling with those?
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I guess I would just say talk to your doctor, obviously, if you're experiencing anything that you think is like hallucinations. I'm sorry about that. Or, you know, thoughts of grandeur or anything like that. Definitely, you know, if you're younger than adult age, like talk to your parents and or talk to someone that makes you feel safe talking about things like that, whether it's a friend or their parents, if your parents don't make you feel safe with those types of topics.
Or a school psychologist.
Yeah,
someone at school, a teacher. If not a counselor.
Yeah, any, I guess, mental health person that you can get to.
Yeah, I mean, JJ and I both talked to someone this year, and we're in our 30s. It took us a long time to realize, like, identify those things in us.
Yep.
To be
able to. It took the pandemic for me to finally talk to a therapist.
Yeah. It's just like working out of your physical body. You need mental health. It's not some woo-woo thing. It's real.
Yeah. So we, like Kat said, we absolutely appreciate Allie coming on. Well, before we get out of this episode, is there anything this spooky season that you two are really looking forward to doing, like haunted house or scary movies or anything like that?
Well, we are going to Mexico next week.
Awesome. When are y'all doing that?
We're going next Thursday through Monday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Awesome. Very cool.
So my friend lives there semi-permanently, maybe just temporarily. We're going to go visit her. And I think we should look up some ghost stuff while we're there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
for sure. When did their Day of the Dead festivities start?
I think it's like the day after Halloween.
Okay.
Before Halloween.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, you guys will have to keep us updated and maybe post some pictures and stuff on the Instagram and keep our fans updated as well.
Yeah, it is November 1st and 2nd, I think. Obviously, don't take that to fact. Is that a phrase? We don't know.
But that is a fact, that Day of the Dead is November 1st.
Okay. One thing that I thought was pretty funny, the minisode we just released with Katie Boyle, the comic from Ireland who does comedy in New York City, I asked her for her opinion on candy corn, and she had never heard of that. And I thought that was so funny that that's not really, it's not part of the lexicon in Ireland of candy. She didn't know what candy corn was, because I love candy corn so much, which leads me to my next question. Between you two, do you guys like candy corn or hate candy corn? Because it's fairly polarizing.
Absolutely hate it.
I can have like three and I'm done for the season.
I can eat a whole bag.
Too many.
I love it. So sugary and sweet.
It's like, it looks and feels like wax. I don't like that.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Kat.
I'm JJ. Ooh.